I want to read you a passage tonight to start that is a passage that is really neat because everybody in this room at one point will be standing in the place that's described here. This is a passage about something where all of us one day will be, and so it's neat to look out and see you here and know that I will also see you again one day right here. And it's Revelation chapter 20, starting in verse 11. It says, "Then I saw a great white throne, and him who was seated on it. From his presence, earth and sky fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books, according to what they had done. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one of them, according to what they had done. The death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire." As I read that passage tonight, and together we sit and listen to the words, we recognize what it's saying will happen. This isn't a story that somebody made up so we could come here and have something to talk about. This wasn't a fairy tale that someone could make cartoons about and we can watch it on Sunday mornings. This will actually take place. This is a story about when all of us will be standing together with all people who have ever lived. And I'll probably see some of you guys across the crowd and notice faces as we all stand there, mixed with believers and unbelievers alike, as we stand at the foot of the throne and as we all await judgment. That will happen. And if you don't believe it, find me in the crowd that day when it does. Because we will be standing there. It's reality and it's truth. And so here's the question I have for you tonight as we read that passage about the truth. As you hear the horrific thing that will happen to those who don't believe, as I tell you, it's absolutely true and it's reality and it's going to happen, and these people who are not found to have believed in Christ will be thrown into a lake of fire, does it make your heart tremble? As you hear those words of that horrific day, does it break your heart into pieces? Now, that's a wake-up call for me. Because it shows us something about ourselves. It sheds light on the calluses we have on our hearts. It helps us to determine whether or not we really believe this thing is real. Because if we believed it was real, it would shake us. Now, I don't fault you, and I don't read that so you feel bad about yourself tonight. But I hope it exposes a part of you that it exposed in me, that we have been lied to by a culture and a world around us where we live right now that wants to erase every part of spirituality out of your belief system. A world that wants you to think that the most important thing you can do is be attractive and walk around and girls have all the boys chase you and guys have all the girls chasing you. Be the biggest, strongest guy on the field, so all the other guys look up to you. Make sure you fit in the cool crowd because you want to be popular. Ring any bells? Come on now. I don't care what age you are. That's true for 90-year-olds. Everybody wants to fit in. And our lives can sometimes be so consumed with fitting in, with having nice stuff, with worldly things that will fade away and disappear. And our culture keeps shoving it down our throats saying, believe this. This is the most important thing. And when we read truth, truth like I just read to you, and most of us didn't even really care, I hope it exposes a part of our hearts that has become callous to spiritual truth. And I hope it wakes us up. Because tonight, as we look at what Manny did such a great job starting last week for us, is look on grace. What grace is, if we are lost and consumed with a physical world and that's all we see, we will never grasp just how beautiful and amazing grace actually is. If you don't believe me, check out, I got a picture, a couple pictures for you tonight. And before you show it, guys, don't show it yet. I'm taking these pictures seriously, so please don't laugh. And this isn't something where I want to put them up here so we can critique their lives and judge them and point at them. And that's not the point of this. So respectfully, I want to show you a picture. Go ahead. You're probably fighting the laughter. I was when I saw it. Is sin funny? That's all I could think about as I sat on my computer and I'm scouring the internet trying to find people that might be problem people that some of you probably grew up listening to his music. Started off singing in church. His mom wrote a devotional that most churches around this country use. His mom, you can see her on YouTube on doing interviews, praising God for having given him gifts to be able to affect the world in awesome ways for Christ. And look at what he's doing now. And my fear is that some of you all grew up listening to this and your parents probably said, listen, it's good music. That's pretty wholesome music. What about now? Do you think that's like the next stage in life where we naturally, as we get older, sin becomes more acceptable because you're more mature and you can handle it? I heard that a lot. When you reach this age, it's okay to swear. You know, you can use foul language. And then when you reach this age, dirty jokes just aren't as bad. And then when you... partying is okay as long as you're this old. And I don't want you to grow up thinking, hey, this guy was awesome for so long, and all of a sudden he's... and I'm going to keep looking up to him as a role model. And I recognize something, too, that right now some of y'all are going, man, why do we even have him up there? You just let him do him, you know? So many people blogged, just leave him alone, let him be him, let him just do him, it's okay, it's his choices, it's his life. How much do you think Jesus would just let him do him and be okay with it? Tell that to Jesus as he's sitting, standing over Jerusalem, weeping over the people that he loves, weeping over their sin, not willing to just let them do them. I hope the guy gets saved. If he is already, I hope God does something in his heart. We're not up here to critique Justin Bieber. But what I want you to notice is how the world has so just filthied up our minds that we're just like, just let him do him, you know? It's not that bad. What about this person? You guys recognize this. I know so many kids who are like, my parents used to make me watch Hannah Montana because she was like pure and wholesome and Disney and the whole deal. And now look what's going on. Miley Cyrus now stands for breaking the rules because you just have the right to do it. Her message to the world is, do what you want, do you. As long as you're doing you, you're doing right. Is that true? Should we just tolerate everything, even if it's sin and it's destructive? Should we buy the lies? I don't know about you guys. I'm tired of being lied to. And I'm not talking about the media. I'm talking about Christian circles lying to each other, saying that stuff like this is okay, just be tolerant. It's not okay. No, we don't think they're cool. We understand they're doing wrong. How often do you sit on your couch and watch trash programs and laugh at them because the people on there are so dysfunctional and their sin is just so stinking funny? What if Christ was sitting next to you on the couch as you laughing at their sin that breaks his heart? As you look over, as you're laughing, and Jesus is there bawling his eyes out because he's watching people he loves broken in sin. Do you think our hearts are lining up, and I'm not talking about the world, the church, do you think our hearts are lining up with the heart of Christ? If you look in your own heart, are you seeing fruit that makes you look more like Jesus? Or are we starting to become really okay with a whole lot of garbage that is not okay? This catchphrase always goes around Christian circles nowadays. It's about relationship, and as long as you love Christ, it's not so much about what you do. Lies. If you love Christ, you will follow Christ. Or don't say you love Him. And that's exactly what Jesus is going to teach us tonight in the passage we're looking at. John chapter 15, verses 1 to 11. Jesus is going to give us one of the best looks at grace, a balanced look. Because depending on our view of grace, we'll either end up totally legalistic, meaning it's all about doing things and following rules and adding things to the gospel so God loves me. Or I swing the complete opposite way and say, tolerate everyone and sin's okay. And as long as I love Jesus, you know, He'll forgive me and I'm good. I don't have to strive to be holy. And Jesus is going to say, you guys both got it wrong. So let's hear from Him tonight. John 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. Jesus starts off this whole passage by saying one really key phrase. I am, the statement of God, divinity, deity, He is God. I am the true vine. Why do you think He adds true vine? Why couldn't He just say, I'm the vine? He says, I am the true vine. Now, what does the vine do? Let's try to understand that so we can figure this thing out. Why is the vine even needed? You get the roots, you get this vine that comes up, and then you get those little branches that actually have the fruit. What if that vine's not there? There's no branches. If there's no branches, there's no fruit. See, the whole thing depends on the vine. And what Christ wants us to understand about grace and about our relationship with Him is that we should be depending on Christ. Our lives depend on it, and whether or not you believe it or care, it's true. Your life depends on Christ. But see, Satan's out there wanting you to believe that all these other things are better vines than Jesus. Some of those things I mentioned earlier. Some of y'all think, man, I'm going to depend on having lots of good relationships in my life, and that will satisfy me. As long as people laugh at me when I tell funny jokes and think I'm cool, that will keep me content, and I'll be satisfied as long as people love me. As long as I dress in the coolest style and everybody thinks I'm a good dresser and good looking, that makes me feel good about my self-worth, then I'll be content, and so I can depend on that. As long as I can go party and have fun and feel good, as long as I'm feeling good, you know, then, okay. I could depend on that. I could go on and on and on. I won't. there are a lot of vines. And so Jesus points out that he is the true vine, the only one that will actually give life. You see, the vine is what gives life to those branches. And life is exactly what we need. But sometimes, like I read in the beginning, we're so clouded by physical things we can't even see that spiritual truth. Like, well, it's hard to see spiritual things around us. I beg to differ. How do you feel when someone dies? How do you feel when you're driving down the street and you just see a dead animal on the side of the road? Some of you weirdos are like, sweet, cool. You rednecks eat it, but whatever, that's not the point. All of us get this weirdness around death. Animal, human, whatever. Death produces something in us that we're like, whether it's sadness, whether it's just this weird feeling, this gross feeling inside, we're nauseated by death, but death is not something that looks like it fits in naturally with this universe. And guess what? It's not. What? Death isn't natural? We learned in science that the most natural things is life and death. You live and then you die. You're born. Right? No. No. Death came about because of something supernatural. Death happened in the garden. You were created to live forever. Everything in this universe was created to live forever. God designed it that way. Something supernatural happened to come and create death as a punishment on us, which is a curse, a supernatural curse. It doesn't fit in here. That's why it feels so off to us. It's all around us, and death is the only thing we can face because of this curse that God placed on us because of sin. And so when you're born, you're not really even born, you're just dead. That's a weird thought, right? I'm born dead. You are. And so you have no vine. Because you're dead and you're looking for life and you're desiring life because you are dead and know that you need it. And so you're going around looking to see where to find it. And the only true life source you're going to find that will actually last, Jesus is saying, is Him. He's the true vine. He's the source of the life you're so desperately in need of because you're walking around dead. So our Lord is the true vine. And look what His Father is. It says, my Father is the vine dresser. He's the farmer. It's awesome. Jesus is talking to these farmers so they understand His stories. The farmer goes around and cares deeply for these vines. He takes care of them. He prunes them. He cuts them. He cleans them. He waters them and feeds them. He is the one who protects and loves these vines. And that is what Jesus says God is for you. As you believe in Christ, He deeply cares and loves you. He protects you and watches over you and does even the hard things that we're going to see in a minute. Look at the next verse, 2. It says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. Some of you guys are going to be so angry at me when I say this. You have to bear fruit. You can't be a fake branch. Jesus Himself is looking at His disciples saying, it's not enough to look like a Christian and talk like a Christian and be really moral. You have to actually believe it in your heart to the point where it changes you. Fruit. You bear fruit. Because He says if you don't bear fruit, what He's going to do is He's going to take you away because you're still dead. You're walking dead. And who needs dead branches? A dead branch is tossed into the fire because it's just trash. It's dead. There's no life in it. It's useless. We are called to show fruit. We can't say we're Christians if we're not showing fruit. A lot of us like people to think we got it all together. This island is so notorious for just the culture here is that we all want people to think we've got it all together. We do well at school. We dress well. We have friends. We do certain activities. We stay really busy. It's just the culture of the island. It's true. And that culture, we're forgetting the most important thing. It's not about people thinking something about us. It's about what's really inside. And so you can fool all the people you want, but when you stand in front of Jesus Christ, He goes, hey, where's your fruit? You said you were a Christian, but you still watched garbage and still talked trash in the locker rooms and still went to those places and went that far with a girlfriend or boyfriend. You had no morals. You didn't follow. There was no fruit. You didn't look like me at all, and your life never changed. Not one bit. It looked the same from beginning to end. You fooled everybody else, but you had no fruit. You have to have fruit. And if there's no fruit, he says he's going to take you away. But he goes on and he says, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. Now, did anyone know what pruning is? Junior high, I was like, it's those things that fruit that makes you poop. I was like, no, that's not it. I always talk about poop, don't I? I'm sorry. Anyone know what pruning is? And like, I just gave it to you. Yeah, it's taking off the dead stuff. So it can grow better. What God does is the vine dresser for us, if we are a real branch and really drawing life from Christ, is he prunes us. He cuts out the sin. He cuts out, and sometimes he does it through hard times and trials. He doesn't say, hey, you're going to have an incredible life and nothing's ever going to go wrong as long as you accept Jesus and put your faith in him. You'll be rich and have nice cars and everything will be great in your whole life because Jesus has rescued you. He doesn't say that. He doesn't promise that. As a matter of fact, the hard times sometimes are the best times where he can come and prune out of you the things that don't allow you to look like Christ. And that's the first time we're going, oh, how dare you let that happen to me, Jesus. Instead, we should be like, hey, God, use this time to make me more like you. I know it hurts and it stinks to be here, but I know you have my best in mind. And he prunes us. This is a picture of discipleship. And this is really neat because when you're saved, it says that you are a branch that bears fruit as you're saved. You know what that means? That means that you don't have to go through 8 years of a discipleship program or Sunday school to eventually be good enough to all of a sudden be used by God. Rob, we're just in high school, so we still got to graduate college before God can actually use us for anything, you know, real. No, the second you accept Christ, I don't care if you're 5 years old, you are tapped into a power source more powerful than anything any of us could imagine, and his name's Jesus Christ. And he's the one who's going to do the work through you because he's the vine. And so I believe a 5-year-old could be used by God to do incredible things because it's really Jesus doing the work. And I absolutely believe he can use every one of you. I believe he wants to, he's wanting to, and he's begging some of you. He's knocking on your heart every day, and you're just not answering. Some of you are. Some of you are rocking it out for Christ. But there's others that are like, man, I just don't believe I'm ready. As you accept Christ, you become a fruit-bearing branch. You're ready to go. I challenge you, ask God, win my school for Christ. Use me to win my school for Christ. I do care about my school, Rob. Do you? How much do you pray for them? Are you spending time in prayer begging God to save the kids in your school who are walking by you every day lost? Your family members that don't know Christ, are you begging God in prayer? Or are you still waiting for something to happen? Like eventually something will happen to my branch and I'll finally be able to be used. No, now. But he does prune. And as you're discipled and as you read the Word and he shows you truth in the Word about your sin, it convicts you and he prunes you and helps you look more like Christ. And that is discipleship where you grow. But you don't have to wait. That's so you bear more fruit and look even more like Christ. Let me tell you something. You're ready right now. Don't let anybody lie to you and tell you that eventually you'll be able to be a leader in your church. You are leaders in this church. Do you know that? Am I the first one who's told you that? I hope not. You are now leaders in this church. We might not make you the next head pastor tomorrow, but you're still a leader and usable by God because you have the Holy Spirit if you're a believer. You don't need to wait. We need people to join the greeting team over there on Sunday mornings to make people feel welcome who have first time walked in church. You could go do that. Use your Holy Spirit gift over there. You could join a band. There's so many opportunities. What are you doing? You are a leader now. Get up and do. Respond to the Holy Spirit. Ask him what he wants you to do. But start obeying. And so he says that every tree, every branch must bear fruit. Rob, you sound like a legalist. It sounds like now we have to like work to please God and like earn our salvation or something, Rob. Is that what you're saying? No, but God does want you to be holy. He's pretty adamant about it. Look at 1 Peter 1:16. Since it is written, you shall be holy. For I am holy. God wants you to be holy. You're trusting on Christ for salvation and for the strength to do it. But that doesn't mean you sit back and do nothing. Remember that spiritual warfare series that we looked at? You got to get off the bench and let him use you. You got to fight the battle. You got to strive to be holy and trust in Christ that he'll do the work. James 2:26. For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. Have all the faith you want, but if you don't have the fruit to show it, the actual works to show it, it's probably a lie. James says it's dead. Because faith, true faith, makes you live for Christ. Or it's probably not true faith. I told you guys a story once about what me and Mr. Chupka used to do. Remember running through the forest? You guys remember that story? And we were running and doing like parkour off the trees. Remember that? And I hit the tree with both feet, and just, it was a dead tree. I didn't know it. Went straight over, and I just pummeled. That tree represents so many believers. They look like this big, strong tree, and everything looks great, and you touch the thing, and it just topples over because it's not a real branch. It's not showing fruit. You're not starting to look like Christ. There's no change in your heart or in your life. Do you really just want to come here every Wednesday night and just do this and then go home and not have any sort of change in your heart? Is it really that great? I'm sure you could find better things to go do on a Wednesday night if it's not about Christ. There's plenty of other places you could be. I'll be honest with you. So why not come and actually be serious about your Savior? Why not use this time to actually grow in Christ so when you leave here, you're bearing fruit and you're reaching a community that's so lost? It's heartbreaking. Do you know that I cry daily over your schools? And you're there every day walking the hallways. You're sitting next to the same kids we're dying to talk to share the gospel with, and you're right there next to them. Are you doing it? Show fruit. Let God use you. Or stop claiming to be something you're not. My dad and I, we were out cleaning just some trees and some stuff on our property in South Carolina. And as we're going around, I saw this big oak. And I looked up at the oak, and it was the weirdest thing. It was like a dumb moment. I was like, I'm an idiot. But it was like this big oak had all these weird branches coming down that didn't look like oak branches. I'm like, that can't be an oak tree. It's got to be something else. Because I see all these other branches coming out. And then after a while, I was like, is this like a hybrid tree? Like, this is a crazy looking thing. And as I got closer, I climbed up kind of a limb and I started hitting the branches. And what had happened is these big tall pines that were next to it were just dropping their dead branches into this oak tree. And I'm seeing it looking like, wow, this are some weird branches because they didn't belong there. You know? Okay, yeah, I'm an idiot, but it's okay. Then it just took tapping the oak branches and boom, these things just fell straight out because they weren't attached. So many of us can be that way. We look attached, but there's no fruit. We're just dead, and we need to be tossed in the fire. It's harsh. That's why I said it calmly. I know. It's not my words. We need to be serious about our faith. We need to open up our minds to what's really out there. Look what it says next. We're almost done. It says, in every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. And you ask me, Rob, why am I still sinning then? Like, I get this sin that I keep coming back to, and it keeps kicking my butt. And so, are you saying that I'm no good and I'm not saved? I want to read you something from the Apostle Paul, Romans chapter 7, verses 21 to 25. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law, waging war against the law of my mind, making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. Now Paul himself, you guys know Paul, come on. This is Paul we're talking about. And he himself is describing this walk that he is a real branch. But sin still kicks his butt. And he still has his ups and downs. And he's still fighting against sin to be more like Christ. Now, have you ever guys ever driven up in the mountains before? Like up into a mountain range to like go to another state or something like that? Like, you ever driven through the mountains? How's the drive through the mountains? Is it like just like the whole way? And then is that how it is? Like, how is a mountain drive usually? What would you use your hands? Show me with your hands. Like Guatemala. Like, yeah, you got some dips and some zigzags and some ups and some downs. But, okay, if I were to take this trip, take your trip, like take snapshots the whole way, and only look at just one little section, isn't it possible that I might pick the section where you're just dipping and think that all you did was go down? Because I can only see this part where you were dipping down and I didn't see this part where you're coming back up. But if I look at the whole scope as you go up into the mountains and you're dipping and coming back up, eventually you reach the top. So if I look at the whole scope, I see that you actually did climb the whole time. You were just kind of doing this. That's the Christian walk. That's exactly what Paul's describing, is that, yes, there has to be a change in fruit, and that over time is an increase. You start to look more like Christ, but you still have flesh that's going to fight you the whole way up. So you don't need to sit here tonight and at the end of this big make this big emotional thing where, Rob, you said there I need fruit and I don't know, I'm not saved. I'm not trying to scare you out of salvation. I know you too well. But I do want you to look at your life, and I do believe there are some in here that have these dips that are just constant, and you need to repent. You need to take it serious. You need to repent of some of this garbage you're doing because you're a child of God and you need to stop. You need to bear fruit. I do believe that there's some of you that are in here tonight and you're not a branch. Your mom and dad told you to accept Jesus and you wanted to make them happy and be baptized on your birthday. Like, there's some random story. I know those stories all too well in my own life, believe me. You never did it for you. You never did it because you really believe. And as you're sitting here right now asking yourself, do I actually believe this? You're not able to answer that. Tonight might be the night that you need to say, God, I'm being serious about this thing. I want my life to change. I want to fall in love with Christ. I want Him to be my life. And I want to bear fruit. He says in verse 3, already you're clean because of the word that I've spoken to you. Like, you're already a branch. Abide in me and I in you. This word abide means remain, stay, live, like draw your life from Him. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you. Look at the last part. He says, for apart from me, you can do nothing. You can't do it yourself, so don't expect to be like the Pharisees and say, I'm going to be really good and I'm going to will myself and be really moral and try to do this whole thing myself. I guarantee you, you'll fail. The Apostle Paul told us he did too. But the point is, as you're going, you're desiring the struggle. And you're like, Rob, I keep struggling. Great! I'm glad you're struggling. You know why? Because that means the Holy Spirit's convicting your heart. Every time you sit down frustrated, the Holy Spirit goes, hey, you messed up. Hey, you messed up. Hey, you messed up. He's really good at annoying you like that when you sin. It's awesome. It's kind of what He does. But way more. So that struggle means you actually care about it. I'd be more worried if you were just like, yeah, I don't care. I'm going to go sin. I'm going to go party. I'm going to do all this stuff. Just live how I want. Because there's no struggle. There's no spirit. There's no life from Christ flowing into you. You can't do it by yourself. If I brought this branch from an orange tree up here and I set it on our little fire hydrant right here and maybe like tied it to it and was like, all right, y'all, this is the plan. We're going to leave this thing here. And in like 4 weeks, we're all going to come back and we're all going to take an orange off this and eat. And we're just going to chill and have a good time eating oranges. How many of you would think that I need to be locked up in some like mental institution? Like, you're in that case. You think the water's going to come out of the hydrant? It's like not connected. Like, what do you think's going on, Rob? Why? It's not connected to anything. There's no tree. There's no roots. There's no soil. There's nothing. It's just a branch. And Jesus is saying that's you without Him. You're just that dead branch. You can do absolutely nothing. You need Christ. But if you're not attached to Him, then you can't do anything. It says, I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. Don't you want to bear much fruit? Aren't you tired of just living this mediocre life that doesn't matter, that will fade away? Don't you want to bear fruit? Look like Christ. Invest in something that actually matters with your life. It's hard with you guys because you're like at the beginning and you have all these dreams. I want to challenge you now. Make your dreams about Christ. while you can still dream them, make your dreams and visions about the Savior and about things that will last eternity. If I were speaking to a group of 70-year-old senior adults right now, most of them would be like, man, I wish I could have started this thing over and dreamed about things that lasted. I often have them tell me that. Make sure you tell those kids. If we were in their boat, dream about things that last, guys. Apart from me, you can do nothing. This is grace. Grace says, you can't do it yourself, but I can. I'm the Savior, and I'm going to come do it for you. You don't know what grace is? There it is. The most beautiful example of grace is Jesus Christ. Now here's the deal. This means that you can't do it yourself. Look at James 2:10. For whoever keeps the whole law, the entire thing, but fails on one point, has become accountable for all of it. How many of you guys have ever done one thing? Well, here's enough. You were born. I know, it sounds bad, right? But just the fact that you were born was enough to curse you and break the law, because you were born sinful and unclean. Ouch, that hurts, right? It does, me too. I'm in that boat. And the fact that you broke that one means that you are now not just like as if you were guilty of everything in the law. You literally, God looks at you and says, I am holding you guilty of every piece of this law. So as you look at other people and you point at their sin, know that you also are guilty in front of God for that same exact sin. That stinking gossip, I can't stand that they're always gossiping. Guess what? You're a gossip. And even if you don't actually gossip, you're still guilty of it according to this. Guilty, not just accused. Guilty. We are murderers, whether we've murdered or not. We are liars, whether we've lied or not. This is a very clear law. Jesus holds us guilty of the whole thing. So don't think you can ever work your way into His favor. You can't do it. Ephesians 2:7-9 says this, though there is hope, so that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace. There's that word. It's so awesome. Immeasurable riches of His grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus, because we're guilty of the whole law. We need this. For by grace you have been saved through faith. Good God, because there's no other way I could have done it. Thank you. And this is not your doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. So what I'm not saying tonight is that you have to have fruit so God will love you, and all of a sudden you earn this favor and you get saved. I'm not saying that. Jesus isn't saying that. Right here we see that's not true. And Justin has that white truck outside. You guys know that crazy truck that drives around, makes a lot of noise? Yeah. It's a diesel truck. He'll make sure you know it too. Ask him. He'll tell you all about it for 2 hours. Now his diesel truck, I learned something about diesels. You want it to blow out black smoke. You guys know that? Diesel trucks, if it's blowing black smoke, I'm thinking, dude, the thing's frying, it's dead, the truck's going to die. Diesel guys are like, yeah, black smoke, healthy truck. It's good for the truck. Well, here's the deal. That black smoke is just a sign that your engine is really healthy and really good. But if I took that black smoke and tried to like put it into the engine to make the engine work better...